Hello, everybody. My name is Jay McNally, and I'm going to be starting my first podcast, and we're going to start off with Little Monsters by Kara Thomas. Some of the characters you will run into is Casey, Ashley, Lauren, Andrew, Bailey, Jade, Chris, Ellie, and Detective Brooke. Now, with these characters, the book and the writing itself is very amazing. Like, this is one of the books I couldn't put down. I just had to keep reading it, and I got through it very, very quick. So, when meeting Casey, you will find that she is easily talked into doing things. She doesn't want to disappoint her friends or family, and she is the new girl in town, and she's kind of skittish and doesn't trust anyone easily. Personally, I connect with Casey because I moved from my hometown to a different town, and I was the outsider, the new kid, so I kind of connect with Casey. Next, you're going to be introduced to Ashley. Ashley is the stepmother to Casey and the mother to Lauren and Andrew. She is one of those people who don't want to embarrass her family, and she doesn't want to upset her family. She is also her own business owner. She owns a cafe called Milk and Honey, and she is like the main boss. She is very liked, and people come to her as daily customers. Next, you'll be introduced to Lauren. Lauren is the stepsister of Casey and the youngest of the family. She is left out by her friends all the time. Her friends go out and they do adult-like things, and she's just not ready for that. So she stays home, and she's excluded from their activities, and it upsets her. So she enjoys spending time with her family, and she's always with Casey. So one night, with Casey and Bailey and Jade, and they go to a barn, and this barn is supposed to have been haunted. In the barn, there was a family that lived there, and they were called the Lead family, and they were brutally murdered. And supposedly, the barn was to be haunted by Ashley Lead. And so when they went up to the barn, no one knew they were going to do a seance until the candles were set up and Bailey holds out the pendulum. Well, after starting the seance, Bailey and Casey go outside because they hear footsteps. So they're walking around the barn and they see no steps, nothing, there's nothing there. So then they come back into the barn, and as soon as they step foot to the inside, the roof collapses and is like mere inches to killing Casey's little sister, Lauren. This gives Lauren, because she's 13 at the time, gives her nightmares, and she goes out of whack. She doesn't eat. She doesn't sleep. She refuses to sleep in her own room. She's moody and mean. So the next person you will meet is Andrew. Andrew's the older stepbrother and the brother of Lauren. He is a good observer. Like, he notices little things. He can tell if you're lying to him, and he can tell your mood swings. And him and Casey get along very well. They're very close because of that reason. He is also college bound. He's a cross-country runner and gets a full scholarship to Madison. But he does get kicked off the soccer team at his high school. The problem with that is he gets in a relationship and the relationship doesn't really go well. So what happens is the girlfriend broke up with him, and he goes into this deep depression where he can't get up, he can't get dressed, he doesn't want to do anything, he doesn't go to school, he doesn't go to practice. So his mom takes him to a therapist, and they put him on antidepressants, and then he starts getting back to being able to go to school, being able to see her every day, and all that stuff. Next, you will see Bailey. Bailey is the friend of Casey and Jade. She describes herself as a non-existent. Basically, that means she doesn't She's not a loser, and she's also not popular. She's just one of those that can get by sitting with whomever she wants. Next, you will see that she is very insecure about her family. She doesn't want people coming over because her house isn't up to date. She doesn't have a giant pool. She's just, her family are pretty laid back. But she doesn't want people knowing, like, how her life is. So she's very embarrassed by them, and a lot of people don't go there. She also works at a pharmacy in town. Bailey hates the small town she's in because, in her eyes, she sees herself as the reason why Chris lost his scholarship. And to Chris, she's the reason why. So people start horrible rumors about her, and a lot of people hate her, and it's not her fault. So next you'll be introduced to Jade. Jade is friends of Bailey and Casey. She is a partier. She has no intention of leaving her small town. She can't afford to go to college, so she'll probably be a waitress. And she is obsessed with Bailey. She doesn't like Casey because when Casey first moves there, Bailey's going through all of this hard stuff, and Bailey turns and starts talking to Casey. And that's how Casey and Bailey became friends. And then introduced to Jade, and Jade was just not having it. She's very fixated on Bailey, and she wants Bailey all to herself. Next, you will see to be introduced to Chris Grusso. He was the one dating Bailey, and he ruined his chance of going to pro and to go to college. He was drinking and driving and hates Bailey for it because he was on the football team, he was a quarterback, he had a full scholarship, and he goes to a party. At this party, he's drinking and he's having fun with his friends, and then he starts to hook up with Bailey. Bailey doesn't want to have sex in the house of Chris's friend, so she says, "Why don't you go and we can go to your place and we can hook up." He's very eager. He drinks another cup of beer and then he gets in his car. She turns to him and says, "Are you okay to drive?" He looks at her, winks, turns on the key, and starts driving. Well, as soon as they get to the uphill climax of where he lives, a truck didn't have headlights and he ran straight into it and caused the wreck. Bailey only had a few bruises and scratches, but because he was drunk and driving, he got his scholarship taken away and he lost his full ride to college. So, he hates Bailey because he believes that she could have just hooked up with him there and really it's just his fault. Next, you will be introduced to Ellie. She's a cop. Her great niece is dating Chris, and she just doesn't have the time for small town runaways because everyone runs away eventually. She doesn't have very good manners, and she's rude. Like, she goes to talk to Casey in one scene, and when they're talking, she just invites herself into the house and asks for a cup of coffee, and she doesn't even drink the coffee. It's right in front of her, and she's just basically trying to get Casey alone to talk to Casey without the stepmom being there, and she just never drinks the coffee. So, the next person you will be introduced to is Detective Brooke. He's an out-of-town officer who is on the case of the disappearance of Bailey. Bailey goes missing after the party. No one knows why. And he's brought in. They found bloody clothes. They found blood handprint in the barn. They found her car in an abandoned garage. And her cell phone, which is completely erased on Chris's property. So Detective Brooke comes in and he starts to overanalyze people. People who know Bailey. And he's kind of a dick about it because he's trying to gain everyone's trust, but he's also trying to put two and two together, and he's just getting all the information wrong. He's arresting the wrong people, and it's hard. So for some of the foreshadowings that are going on, Casey often goes back to her past where she's fighting with her mom or her mom's boyfriends, and they get in fist fights, they throw things, and it leads back to the fact that she ran away, she would sleep in abandoned garages, she would stay in between friends' couches, she just didn't want to be home, her and her mom never got along, and she lies to her caseworker, saying that her boyfriend's the one that split her lip, and she is taken away from her mom and brought to her dad. Then you will see Bailey and how she always talks of leaving. She goes back and forth to how she's always discussing it with Jade or how she's writing it in her journal, and you can see why she's wanting to leave. But then you always get the foreshadowing of Chris about what happened, how it happened, and why she thinks that it's her fault. Next, when Bailey goes missing, you get Jade's foreshadowing, where she remembers different scenes of Bailey, of their younger years, what it used to be just the two of them, and how they were inseparable. So I kind of came up with a few ideas of the plot. One idea I believed is that Chris follows Bailey, and he dumps her car in an abandoned garage because he works in garages. And her phone falls from his pocket on his property, and that he killed her. Some of my reactions, I found it odd how Bailey only told each friend different things. Like, if Bailey wanted to hang out and Jade wasn't available, she'd hang out with Casey and wouldn't tell Jade about it, or vice versa. Or how Casey and Bailey had a history project together and she was just collecting how all the money she would need and stuff to save up to be able to just get on the road and leave. Well, then another reaction I had was I couldn't believe that Bailey, one, didn't pick Casey up for the party that she had requested to go to, and she didn't tell Jade that the reason why was because of Lauren. So none of them, Jade or Casey, know anything about what's going on with Bailey. Casey doesn't know who to trust and who not to trust. So my next opinion is I was shocked that Bailey is a missing person, because I wouldn't expect Bailey to go missing. If anything, I would suspect Jade to go missing. But in this case, it didn't happen. It was Bailey. And I'm surprised that Jade didn't leave with her when she was at the party, because Jade's always with Bailey. So I don't really understand that part. But my next reaction is I wasn't that shocked that Bailey... Wait, no, I already read that. I'm sorry. I apologize. I didn't expect that Andrew would be brought up and be put on suspicion for calling Bailey, but the reason why it shows two calls made from Andrew's phone is because he must have butt dialed while he was following his dad to see if his dad was cheating on his mom. And when Andrew confesses to that, everyone around him thinks that Bailey and Andrew were trying to hook up. Andrew got mad because either Bailey and or Jade or both of them started spreading around school telling everyone that he's fucking Casey. Now, it's messed up, but people were thinking, oh, it's Andrew. He's really mad. He calls her, tells her that he wants to meet up with her, and then he remembers all those things that people are coming up and telling him, and he just gets mad and loses his cool. So I was thinking that, but apparently that's not what happened. So at last, my last reaction to this book that really got me is the fact that Bailey isn't just missing, she's dead. And the reason why she's dead is because Jade said, if I can't have her, no one can, basically. She and Lauren sneak out. Lauren takes a hunter's knife, or a kitchen knife, and stabs it into her lungs in between her chest and kills her. Lauren is then told to take Casey, not take Casey, I'm sorry, again, I'm getting ahead of myself. Ugh, I hate when that happens. She's told to take Bailey, put her body outside with her keys, and Lauren was to call Jade. After Lauren calls Jade, Jade pulls up by their house, loads Bailey into the trunk of the car, and disposes her body in Wisconsin, and takes back to Broke Falls. Now, what she didn't realize that was going to get her caught was the security camera that took a small picture of her car going to Lauren, Casey, Ashley, and Andrew's house. But that's not what actually gets her caught. What gets her caught is Lauren. Casey comes home, looks at Lauren, and says, I know you know what happened. Tell me, did you do it? And when Lauren looks up at her sister, she goes, I just couldn't bear the fact that you would have to leave and you wouldn't be here with us anymore. And I was told to. And when Casey asked who told her, she kept saying, it's the woman in red. It's the woman in red. And Casey looks at her, grabs her shoulder, and she said, there's no such thing as the woman in red. Tell me what happened. And Lauren goes to tell her what happened and tells Jade, like, tells Casey about Jade. And she calls the cops. And Lauren is arrested and taken to jail. And then Jade's arrested and taken to jail. And Andrew is released from jail. Here's the weird part. All through the sentencing, Lauren was very easily, like, gullible. So she thought that it was something she had to do. So she gets sent to a psychiatric facility for, like, 8 years. But she doesn't end up serving all 8 years. Because she gets out with good behavior, but Casey's, like, really worried because she's like, well, she killed my best friend. What's to say she won't kill me? But Casey's reunited with her mother, and she starts to develop a great relationship with her. And with Jade, Jade doesn't get a lawyer. Jade's just sitting there through everything, going through the entire trial. She's guilty, and she goes to prison for, like, I think it was 10 years. Or so. And when Bailey's mom decides to clean out her room, she finds Bailey's notebook. And in that notebook, it is going into description and stuff about killing Casey. Bailey and Jade were to kill Casey, but because Lauren showed up, that didn't happen. So Lauren was actually a angel looking after Casey, and so Jade and Bailey were going to do it a different night. Well, Bailey just kept thinking and thinking, and she's like, we're going to get caught. There's no sense into it. Let's just leave it alone, pretend it never happened. She goes back to Chris to give him the hunting knife that he refuses to take. So she keeps it in the trunk with sweatpants and men's sweatshirt. And they have this elaborate plan to get her alone again, and they were going to kill her together. Well, when she says, "No, Jade, we can't do this," it just pisses Jade off. And Jade goes around spreading the rumor about how Bailey was just a baby about things and how no one should have trusted her. Jade's going on about how Andrew's fucking his stepsister. And then she's finally caught. The mom hands the journal over to the police. The police reads it. And they are horrified by all of the descriptions and things that she writes in her journal. And it's scary. But honestly, I give this book a 5 out of 5 stars. It's an easy read. I promise you could probably read it in 1 or 2 days. To me, I read it in 2. Because I didn't want it to be over for the fact that I liked it so much. And I was like, oh, I want to anticipate. But I didn't want to finish it all in one setting. So I ended up doing it in 2. However, I'm very happy to have read this book. I really love the English, the grammar, the plot. I loved her writing. Kara Thomas, you are so amazing. And I'm looking forward to reading your next book. And I hope you bring many more out, because I would totally love to read more of your work. Well, anyways, that's all for today's podcast. I don't have an intro or an outro, so until next time.